For those of you who are visiting today, you're going to be here for the final session of a six-part teaching that I've been going through over the last few months. I had shared with our church body that a few months ago I felt a very strong prompting of the Lord that I needed to focus on the topic of building up the family, how to speak truth into the different families here, of how you, as men and women, as Christians, build up your family, build up numerous ways to strengthen your family. So today is the last session, and it's been a joy for me, and I hope by the grace of God, I hope it's been helpful for all of you. I really have prayed that God would use it, and that you've been strengthened in particular areas of need. I don't know where those are, per se, but the Holy Spirit ministers and feeds us and helps us. Particularly how you couples can work together to build up a better marriage. How you men, you brothers, can labor to build up your families. How you sisters in the faith, as women in your home, can labor in your role to build up your family. And then how you as parents, man and woman, father and mother, how you can labor to build up your children in the things of God, in the things of Jesus Christ. And then finally, last week, that all of us in our homes, around each other, would use our words, the things that we say, that we could build each other up. Words are powerful. So those are the five series or five sessions we've had so far. Where's all this going? Why? Because that in all things, our families would show forth the glory of God. That's why we exist. And that you as married couples and you as families would learn to live in such a way that God's glory would be manifest in you. In the love between husband and wife. In the love of parents to children. In the atmosphere of your home. The glory of God. I didn't hear that taught at the convention that was held in Tampa this last week. I heard a few speeches. But the glory and centrality of God in marriage, the glory of Jesus Christ, that's what we live for. It's who we live for. And we want our families to have that very portrayal. So today I'd like to conclude this series with one more admonition dealing with practical truths that will impact your family. The first four sessions we had or teachings were very much on individual theological pillar truths. But these last two are more practical. So it's really more of a dialogue, a teaching. I have just a few references in Scripture, but for the most part, it's a pastor's heart to you. It's a man who's still walking in these very things. So I've titled today, Building for the Long Haul. We've talked about all these different ways of building. Building your marriage, men as builders, women as builders, parents as builders, words that build up. But what about building for the long haul? Whether you get another year or another 40 years, how are you going to build for the long haul? What you can do to make your family stronger and stronger, to stay bonded together through the years. That's what we want. We want staying power. We want grace upon grace. We want to make it for the long haul, that God's name would be honored, that we would have the joy of Him in our homes. And I'd like to borrow an illustration that I think really can signify this for us. It's a good portrayal. Years ago, Krista and I had read a love story, and they used this illustration of relationships, the things you do together. You tie strings. And when you tie strings in relationship, the bond gets stronger and stronger. You get the picture? So I love this picture of tying strings. The more you tie strings together, the stronger you're going to get a bond. So today, in a sense, I had to sneak this in here so nobody knew what I had. Strings, tying strings together. Now this came off a roll of twine or string that Jesse and I have, and we use this stuff for all kinds of things. Anybody want to guess how many strings make up this small strand? Three. Three strings wrapped together But you know what? This doesn't work real, real well around the house. It works some. Jesse and I will use it, and it breaks on us, and we have to get more. And so that's probably a good illustration of what we don't want. We don't want just a few strings in our relationship, in our marriage, and in our families. We want the big stuff. I had to cut this off out of the barn. Now, this stuff right here has never failed me. Krista and I have used this. Jesse and I have used this. We've pulled with our tractor trees out of the ground and fencing and all kinds of things. This stuff works. This is what we want. This is a picture of what we want. You want to tie strings, beloved, with each other in precious ways that you build a stronger bond. And it'll hang in there. And it'll grow and cause your relationships to mature and have fruitfulness. Who wants to guess how many strings in this thing? This rope. It was already undoing. It's 8 bundles of 5 each. So you children do the math. How many is that? 40. This is 3. This is the modern view of family and marriage. Marriage, no big deal, right? Easy come, easy go. Kids, they get in the way, right? This is what most you hear. This is how God says, tie a lot of them together. So that's going to be our metaphor for today, or our picture for today. And that is tying strings together. So what family activities, what is God's gift to us? What are things you can do that will tie more strings that you can have? Some of you are very young in your marriage. Some of you have little bitty children. And you need to be tying strings. So I'd like to give you 5 of these as we wind down this whole series. First, reading as a family. Reading. This is a good one. The string or strings of reading together. Now, I know we've covered this in some of the previous teachings, but let me restate it. You need, as a family, to make this book a living discourse in your family. Let it speak to you. God is speaking this Word, the preciousness of His Word, the power of it, the reality that it's alive, that it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Let the Word of God speak. Let it have authority. You need to read it. Now, there are other types of resources. I nearly brought some of them. I realize if I keep bringing illustrations, I could have too much stuff up here. But there are other resources when your children are really young that you can get that are summations. They are summaries of Scripture. For example, Kenneth Taylor's book, The Bible in Picture for Little Eyes. It's priceless. If you don't have it, you ought to get it. Particularly the old version. There's a newer version. But read together. Read to 6-week-old children and 6-month-old children and 2-year-olds and 5-year-olds. Read the Word of God. Be creative. Implement it in how you tie strings together. You need to read it individually. Men, women, you need to read it together as a couple. And need to read it together as a family. So you see, you're applying the Word of God and it's building up in every area. Because it speaks to the heart, does it not? It speaks to the mind and it speaks to the heart. And it gives direction to you and your family. Your children need to know we make decisions. We walk. We live according to what God tells us to do. That's how we go. David said, "Thy word is what? A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's Word is the roadmap. It is the course that we're to walk in. His ways, the teaching of His Word, the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to read it and cherish it as a family is fundamental to staying connected, bonded in the reality of what God declares. Know the Bible and help your children know it. Help them to know this book, to know the stories and the great proclamations of God's redemptive plan, His saving mercy. He planned from eternity past to send forth His Son. And His Son came. And His Son triumphed, right? And His Son is resurrected. He's in the heavens. He ascended. And He now reigneth. And He intercedes even today for us. These truths. Read the Word of God out loud together. When children are learning to read, they can grow in learning to read this out loud. A 4-year-old or a 5-year-old, whatever age that they're at, let them learn to read. It's something incredibly pure and precious to hear a young child reading Scripture. It's a great way, beloved, to bond and to tie together. Post it in your house. Anybody do this? Post it in their house? Well, years ago, when the other kids that are all grown now, the previous four, I'm going to start calling the previous four and the current four, but the four that were growing up, I would get up early before I had my other work, and I would write the verse for the day. You remember this? And I would post it on the refrigerator. And usually it was coming out of the Psalms or one of the other. And it was, I guess, that all the kids remember going into the kitchen, and there's Dad's fresh writing for the day. It's so basic. It's so simple, but it has such a great way to knit us together, right? To let the Word of God and read it, post it. The Old Testament says this in Deuteronomy. Put it over your doors. Put it in your houses. Post it. So reading the Scriptures. But don't only read the Bible. It is central. It is the most important one. But it's not the only thing you can read together or should read together. Read Christian biographies. Read great stories from history. Read various books of virtue. Anybody have William Bennett's book, The Book of Virtue? Some of those like that. Books that have great stories and they teach children principles. They need to hear these things. They need to learn from them. Read poems that are God-centered. Find great literature, great things to read to your children. It's marvelous. It's so practical and wonderful and helpful to them. The point is, read. Read as a family. We are a gadget society. Everybody's off dealing with their gadget. It hit me recently. It hit me. In my day of growing up, nobody ever came out of meetings, the movie theater, the airport. Nobody ever came out only doing this. Nobody did that. And maybe somebody was looking down in their purse or their wallet, but everybody is disconnected. And reading reconnects you. We want to be connected to each other. What a wonderful experience to leave this legacy to your children. Reading through books together. And you'll have such memories. You're cultivating memories. At the moment, you partially appreciate it. Just a little bit. But you look back. You take a look back and you realize, wow, what precious times. I reflect back. Many years ago, when the other group, or the other kids were just kind of at a just beginning in the teen years, Mac loaned me George Mueller's autobiography. What is it? Something in Million and One or whatever, an Answer to Prayer. And he loaned it to us. It's a big, hard, original volume. And we would read excerpts of the life or the journal entries of George Mueller. And how God provided that orphanage. It's just incredible. I have great memories of that. The kids would remember that. Pilgrim's Progress. I don't have any greater memory of reading another book other than Scripture than Pilgrim's Progress to the children. And then that led us to us reading The Holy War, both of these by John Bunyan. Read to the children. Read as a family. Read as a husband and wife. The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. Precious. I always reference it and I get emotional because it had such a powerful moment in our family life. The Story of D.L. Moody. We read this years ago. We had these small kind of 15, 20, 25 page booklets. Joseph Merrick. And D.L. Moody and men like that. Read. Read together. Cultivate this. You know what it does, saints? Reading makes you pause. Makes you pause. And listen to something. To listen to truth. And when you do that, it gives you a chance to talk about it. And you want to talk about it. I remember different occasions, different time periods where we would read and then we would stop and we'd just talk about it. That's what you want to do. Talk about it. Because when you discuss things, and when you slow down and you talk about it, you know what you're doing? You're knitting yourself together. That's what you're doing. You're being bonded together. And beloved, it is precious, and it is real, and it is tangible, and it is a legacy that will live on past you. So first, tie the strings of reading together. Tie them. Start making a big, strong rope. Second, praying as a family. First is reading. Second is prayer as a family. yes, at the individual level, but this should carry into our family life. Praying. Beloved, you should pray in front of your children and with your children, because you know what it does? It allows children to see the hearts of their parents. Prayer is an expression unto God that we, Lord, we need you. Lord, show us your way. Sickness, fears, concerns, direction, where, whatever. Others that are in desperate need. And when dad and mom pray and pray with the children see it. They learn more of you and they learn more of God, the greatness of God. Think of this. It makes children realize that God is living, He's glorious, He's powerful, and He is an ever-present help. People who cry out to God in faith believe God for great things. And children need to see that. They need to see that you can cry out to God if you're in a parking lot or in the house or late at night or you're at the hospital or you're on a sport field, wherever it is, you can cry out to God and He is there. He is alive. He is ruling. Children hear this in prayer. In a sense, praying moves you from reading about the greatness of God and the glory of Jesus Christ, and reading from reading, praying takes you to walking or seeing these realities, living them out. You don't want to just read and just get a bunch of head knowledge. You want to then read so that you know more of God and you commune with God through prayer. And children can pick these things up so young. So we don't want to, you don't want to wait. Start on these things. In fact, I'm sure most everybody is doing different things. But let these grow. Cultivate this. David said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. Christians pray. Children need to see mom and dad pray. Because if dad and mom are praying throughout the day, the truths of God or the confidence in God is continuing to be cultivated. Essentially, you're continuing to tie strings. Think of this as the day begins. Cry out to God. When you sit down for your meals, be thankful to God. When you go to bed, praise God for grace, help, strength. Give us rest, Lord. You're with us. Think of it. Beloved, you're pouring out the reality of prayer and communion with God. Or even when you're doing a home project and you need His help. Anybody know what I mean by this? Trying to hang a door, fix a light, whatever, cut wood. Learn to pray with your children in the small events of life. Jesse and I, a few years ago, were trying to fix an old barbecue grill. This is going to live down in the ages, at least, certainly for Jesse and I. Because that grill wasn't working, was it, for me? And I was out there with tools, and I was frustrated because I thought, there's just no way. You know, after 5 million grilling sessions and all the other stuff that gets on all those fittings, come on, are you really going to get all that stuff loose? Well, I was going to give up. And Jesse kept saying, Dad, you can do it. Let's stay with it. He kept encouraging me. And so we began to cry out to the Lord, Lord, help me. Lord, I'm going to try this again. And so we, in a sense, in the spontaneity of the moment, we said, Lord, help us now. Help us. I'm not going to be able to do this. And you know what? He did. And Jesse's encouragement and my just asking the Lord, have mercy, have mercy. You see, beloved, that's not a huge event. That's real life. God is with us and He will help us. And it was a very special memory. It, in a sense, was a father-son tying strings together because we were looking to the Lord. Brothers, you men, learn the importance of gathering your family around for prayer. Reading is great, but you've got to pray together. This becomes the heartbeat of living out the faith, living out walking with God, trusting Him, and it will have a lasting impression on your children as they grow up. They will have memories. My children have seen I and my wife pray crying, desperately needing God to do things. That's good. They know that we need God. We are not our own. We were bought by His Son's precious own blood, and therefore we live unto Him, and our children need to know that. So tie the strings of praying together. Read together, pray together. Third, singing as a family. Now this can be a really unique tradition for a family, right? Reading is pretty obvious. Praying is pretty obvious, but singing, singing. I was with a man not long ago, and he used to be Church of Christ, and he turned to me and laughingly said, "Y'all get to sing, don't you, with instruments?" You bet we do. We do. Singing, if I can put it this way, singing can become a tradition that truly is passed on. Now, I didn't say I or necessarily others of us sing that great in our home. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying sing together. We've been singing this week with the children, and we've been working through some of the hymns. And it's just a very, very special thing to do together. Because singing to the Lord, in a sense, can give life in a home. There's some emotion, there's feeling, there's movement. Music is a part of the arts. It affects us, the human spirit. It's great things. Luther is right. Second only to the theology does he give to the place of music. It stirs the soul. It gives us a chance to express back the great truths of who God is and who His Son is. Sing together. It can give great life. It becomes a very tangible way that the great truths of the faith, the doctrines of the faith, the glory of God and His Word, these truths become more clear to your children. Because hymns particularly are full of the character of God, His redemptive plan, Christ, His sacrifice, His atonement for us. So these songs are more than just fun and enjoyable. They're full of praise and things that their children can learn and be built up in. Great songs like "Holy, Holy, Holy." What does that speak to them? The greatness, the holiness of God. Hymns like "How Great Thou Art." Hymns like "At the Cross." Jesus Christ at the cross once for all paid the penalty for sin. And "God Will Take Care of You." These are the kinds of hymns and the kinds of songs we need to sing together. And there's hundreds of others. What becomes special to your family, to your marriage, is different from somebody else. But sing them. Get the hymn books out. If you don't have an instrument, that's okay. Sing the songs of God. You need this. Parents, start this while they're young. Make a pattern in your children, and then eventually your grandchildren, of singing together. They'll pass it on. David said, "I will sing unto the Lord on Mondays and Fridays." No, he did not say that. "I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." While I'm in this shell, while I'm in this body, this temple, I'm going to sing to God. Well, then I'm going to teach my sons and daughters to sing to God. And I'm going to teach my grandchildren to sing to God. And I'm going to trust God to work in their lives because He loves to work. But we have to implement and practice these things. Now, interestingly, think of this. Singing in the home can actually elevate the place of music as a God-centered thing. Stay with me. Singing in your home, if you take command of music, the place of music and the place of singing, it can set the highest view of what music is for. Because it contrasts it to the trash they hear in society every day. Lousy, worthless, defrauding, sensual, wretched music. I'm using that loosely. But when we take music in our homes and we learn to sing and we teach their children the simplicity and the purpose of singing, in a sense, you're laying a foundation for your sons and daughters that music is a high thing. It's not masculine or feminine. It's for everybody. Music is powerful and we need to take it into our homes in a precious way. Let different family members pick the hymns, pick the songs, choruses. You know what I mean? Children enjoy doing this. We got to laughing this morning. We were working on scripture memory. Y'all listen to me. We were working on, and one of the girls said something about, "Keep thy tongue." What was it that we were singing? Steve Green's song. "Keep thy tongue from speaking evil." Is that what? And we were all laughing because on that sing-along, you know what I'm talking about? Steve Green holds the tongue. And the children started singing this funny song this morning. And I looked at them and they were singing that scripture. "Keep your tongue from evil." And so children, engaging them in music is an important thing. It's really a very special thing. Use seasonal music for edification and memories. Everybody follow me on this? Seasonal music for edification and good memories. There are some good hymns in there that are about the coming of the Christ, the Advent, the Savior that was born in Bethlehem. There are great songs that you can use seasonally. Think of this. We just go along through life staying busy and don't implement things. And so we need to be creative. I look back and one of the most precious memories I have of my grandmother, who I was named after, is when she was pushing 90, she could still come to Texas and be with us. The other kids were young. And Krista would play our piano and we'd sing. And of course, her generation, they knew all those hymns. I mean, you go to a nursing home, anybody that's 90 plus today, you start singing hymns. I'm talking people from all over the place. They'll know them. They may not have a lot of memory left, but some of the hymns, they know them. That was their generation. But we would sing, and she would be down here during the Christmas season, and we would sing "O Holy Night," and that was her favorite. And I have, to this day, when I hear "O Holy Night" sung, I think of being with my grandmother and the kids being with her and how we would sing that. And it's a great emotional memory. And my children now that are grown, they remember that. So, music. And as I said, music in the car. Music in the car can foster gooder interaction as a family. We don't need the car to be gadget time. Everybody follow me? We want the car to be our time. You know, one of my favorite things with my own wife is I would rather every gadget be miles away from us. And I would rather that be the case with children. I want to be with them. I want to be with you when we're together. I want relationship. That's what God has given us, relationship. So tie the strings of singing together. Reading, praying, singing. Fourth, worshiping as a family. Worshiping as a family. This is another foundational truth, how a family can function. In a sense, beloved, the first three that I've just talked about kind of all come together, and how family times in your own home becomes a form of worship. Meaning, reading of the Scriptures, praying unto God, singing. In a sense, you're having, as a family, you're having a worship time. It is a time set apart unto God. It can be 4 minutes, it can be 14 minutes, it can be 44 minutes. I'm not giving the formula. I'm not giving the particulars. I'm not going to fill out your day timer or your laptop or whatever else you do on your scheduler. You do that. But my point is, tie these strings, find out how to implement these, and do these. They will help you. They will be profound for the long haul. We're talking about building for the long haul and worship together. But what I really particularly want to address on this thing of worship is for you as men and you as women to know how to create family devotion times that have an attitude, an atmosphere of worship, of God-honored reflection or submission to Him. Children need to learn to be still and honor God. They do. Teenagers need to learn to sit down and button their lip and to honor God. They do. I need that when I was young. All children, any age, need this. Worship is a time of being set apart unto God. And it can be real in our homes. So there needs to be an attitude. And so there's a reverence. There needs to be a reverence for God. Because this translates in other forms of worship, right? Our worship together. In the centrality of what we come to do here. But there's reverence for God. There is a seriousness about His Word. This is not reading some funny story, or this is not reading some casual book of a few teaching points. This is the Word of God. Jesse and I were driving here today, coming early, and we got to reflecting over one of the Proverbs. And I couldn't remember the exact reference. I knew it was in Proverbs. Well, he had two of his Bibles. And I said, well, how big of a concordance do you have in the back of your Bible? And so we were able to get it out. He was able to get his concordance out. I'm driving. Okay, you get your concordance. You got it? All right. We were looking for a word. The word was there. The passage was there. Boom, we had it. And so there's a seriousness about the Word of God. When He speaks, we ought to listen. And if we worship as a family, we take these things serious. And I don't mean, beloved, I don't mean they ought to be harsh or so heavy that they're oppressive. They ought to be respectful. And they ought to be done in a heart that thanks God for life, for the Word of God, for His Son, for a marriage, for children, for daily food, everything. There ought to be a seriousness to this and an earnestness, because it really can affect all of you as a family and how you become still before the Lord. Some families do this in the mornings. Some families do it later in the day. Some families have their time in the evening. It doesn't need to be so confined that you're just going through the motions. You want it to have life. Men, brothers, I think this is an area that all of you can learn new things, new ways to shepherd your home and to have times of worship, reading, praying, singing, sharing together. You can gain new ground here, I'm sure. And there are unique times during the year to have special family worship times. This kind of goes back to the singing. There are unique times of the year that you can transition your family worship times and do different things. Okay? Thanksgiving. Still my favorite holiday in the U.S. I love the ending, the historic connection to what happened in the first Thanksgiving here in the United States. I don't expect modern media to tell me about William Bradford and the Pilgrims, but you can read it. You can read their actual writings, and you can make a time of praise to God in a certain time of year, after a new baby comes, giving thanks to God, the addition of another child. How about Christmas and Advent? I've talked about that a little bit. How that you can celebrate the coming, the prophetic word that was coming, a Messiah is coming, and you read these things. New Year's. You can have family traditions, family ways to worship and give thanks to God. All of these, beloved, all of these have tremendous capability or opportunity to impact your children. These can be vintage moments for a family together. We pulled out, two or three years ago, the Advent wreath. Anybody else do the Advent wreath? Okay. How many even don't know what an Advent wreath is? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, good. We're gonna have some one-on-one here. An Advent wreath is a round wreath. It has candles, four candles, and a center candle, which is the biggest. And Advent is reading from Old Testament, leading up to the New Testament, reading passages about the coming, the promise of Jesus Christ, the Messiah would come. And that becomes a very formative way to teach sons and daughters the reality of God's absolute fulfillment of everything He promised. And so Advent can be a special 4 or 5 week celebration, worship unto God. Well, I thought it was very special years ago with the other kids, and so Chris and I started and used it the last few years. And so one night, after we had started the first week, you remember this? I went in there, every now and then Philip sends text messages, and I send a text message to one of our married daughters. We just started Advent tonight. Sure have great memories. Wish you'd have been here. Her response back was all but tears. They remember those moments. They remember the Advent. They're all there. You remember this. They're all in their pajamas. We're reading the scriptures. We're lighting candles. And we finish with a song. We finish the reading. Mom goes to the piano. We sing a song. Another day's done. Check it off the list. No big deal, right? Hang on. Hang on. We're not talking about a 3-string strand here. We're talking about a 40-string rope. 100-string rope. Beloved, these are strings. Tie them. I didn't even fully realize in just sending a note out, that was a defining moment in a little girl's upbringing. An Advent wreath. These can be truly profound ways of knitting a family together. And it'll endure. One of the homeschool book fairs that Chris and I went to, not book fairs, I'm sorry, homeschool conferences, would have been in the 90s, had several speakers, and then Elizabeth Elliott was asked to speak. Well, no disrespect for any other speakers, but Elizabeth Elliott was at a different level, period. The view she had of living under God and why we're here and how she was raised. You remember this? I went scrounging around last night thinking I'd have notes on that, and I didn't. I think I've lost, yes. I try to keep notes on almost everything, right? So this week, as I was thinking about Elizabeth Elliott, I said, I know I've got those notes. I got to find those notes. It's too good. But what Elizabeth Elliott did is she just began to tell 8,000 or 10,000 people about how she grew up, how her dad and mom taught her the scriptures, how they would sing, how her dad would pray. And she shared these things. And I sat there just mesmerized at how authentic it was. It was just unique to that family. That's just one family. We've got numerous family units here. But that technique and those steps that they took, here she was, well into her 60s, sharing the legacy of the greatness of God and how she grew up. Salvation is of the Lord. I know that. God must come and work and the Holy Spirit quickens life. But we are to be doing everything in our power to nurture and train our children in the ways of God, trusting God will come and do great things in them. We're not passive. We're active. And that's what Elizabeth Elliott... Homeschooling is not an end. Some people homeschool, some don't. But it's not the end. That's what she was. The end is knowing God, knowing His Son, living for the kingdom of God, walking in His ways, living a life that counts. Oh, it was so special. If I ever get to see her, I make these statements. If I ever get to see so-and-so, I'm going to tell them, and I will. I'm going to say to her, what you shared at that conference, probably in 94 or 95, was so helpful to me as a father of young children. So, beloved, tie strings of worship together. Tie those strings. Be creative in seasons, holidays, birthdays, new children. Learn the wonder, the beauty of worshiping God in your home. And fifth, and this will be it, special times as a family. Now this could be worthy of a session or two, but I'm going to try to simplify it. We've talked about reading, praying, singing, and worshiping. And I can't finish without saying this. Special times as a family. What you do as a family. For those that were at the prayer meeting this past Wednesday night, Brother Bob Jennings began to go into this, didn't he? Those of you remember? Bob began to talk about special things. We laughed at his comment about the tent. Right? Wasn't that quite an illustration. He talked about going camping as a family. But now he looks back and he wished he'd have bought a bigger tent for the family. And so you had to be there to appreciate it. I mean, I was hanging by a thread the whole night. I needed to leave the room most of the night. I just couldn't hold myself together. It was just full of special times as a family. Oh, beloved, create special times in countless ways, many ways. Do things together that are tying strings. Do these things. Live unto God. Live to the fullness. Walk with Him. Birthday events. Family vacations. They don't have to be expensive. Family trips or events that you do. Popcorn nights. We used to have no discretionary money. And I would cook this massive bowl of popcorn and put this huge beach towel in the floor and plop all four of the kids in their pajamas down on the towel. And then it was like little kittens grabbing popcorn. Here's this big bowl and it's precious. They laugh. We laugh about it. Very, very special. Simple, pure things. Riding bikes together. Taking walks together. Go camping together. The Hughes family, Baker and Jane. They'd hardly been married a week. And Baker and Jane are getting tense and they're going camping. And Chris and I are going, man, they're in the camping, aren't they? Well, they've passed this along to their kids. They've loved, they still. They come to these fellowship conferences. Y'all know this. They have a pop-up tent. It's a part of the Hughes legacy. That's who they are. They've created wonderful memories. It's hard to have a lot of gadgets hooked up when you're in a tent, right? Not a lot of distractions. Not a lot of PCs. Not a lot of iPhones. All those kinds of things. iPads. Computer games. So do things. How about it going exploring? Looking for things. Working puzzles. Anybody work puzzles? Linda, you still love to do puzzles? I can picture my mom doing puzzles. My sister would do them with her son. Sometimes in the winter, a puzzle making or building exercise can be vintage. Right? In a sense, God's redemptive plan, as we see it from Genesis on, is this coming together of the picture of God's redemptive plan. You get the Hebrews, and everything becomes proclaimed. God did this in the Old Testament, but Christ fulfilled it. Speak to your children. Use those points in time. Board games. We used to have a lot of fun with board games. I grew up playing board games. They're still very special. Cooking out. Brother Bob talked about, get that grill out. Light that grill up. Enjoy your time. My dad turned 77 years old yesterday. He's still alive, still in really good health. We had him over. I may not have him much longer. He might outlive me. But I need to redeem today. These children need to be with Him. We need to be with Him. We need to enjoy the gifts of God. It's all from God. We ought to enjoy it. That's what Bob was trying to tell us. Enjoy it. Life is full. There's things that are hard, but we need to enjoy God. He didn't make this life a bummer. Life is full of joy. Jesus Christ came to give us abundance of life and joy. And we want our children to do it that way. The gospel is not boring. Jesus Christ is not boring. He's everything. We ought to live that way. Eating popcorn, riding bikes, board games, cooking out, outside games. I hooked up a basketball goal when Jabin was 5 years old on a tree. It's about this high. Oh, and we'd play each other. And I'd dunk over him. He thought I was the best basketball player in North America. It didn't last long. The goal is this high. You remember that? We had an old hackberry tree. But we were being together. That's her daddy, by the way. We would play out there and he'd learn to shoot. No backboard, you know, not really fair when you think about it. But we would play together. Trips to Six Flags. If we were honest, Mac and Linda, if we all start sharing about our trips to Six Flags when their kids were young and our kids were young, we would probably cry together. We wouldn't cry out of sorrow, we'd cry out of joy. We would go to Six Flags 20 years ago as families, and we'd get wet and we'd get all that green and blue water all over us, and we'd just be glazed over and we'd have a blast. And our children will remember those times. We were loving each other and loving brethren. They need to see that. It's pure things God gives us. Special times together. I took the two boys to a Ranger game recently. And we sat way up there. The Goodyear blimp could have dropped us off sodas. We were up there and we had a great time, didn't we? We were watching and talking and Jesse and I went walking. We had the best time. Because we redeemed it. We did it unto the Lord. Whether you eat or drink, do all that you do to the glory of God. That's what I think Bob was touching on. Be creative. Be creative in the times and seasons that God gives us. The times and seasons. 2- and 4-year-olds, 6- and 9-year-olds, 14- and 18-year-olds, wherever they are. You have to move along with them and know how to minister to them. This is profound, really. The times and seasons. Because now doing this journey again, there are things I see that I want to make sure that I bring back in. But I'll tell you one last story. When the other kids were, anywhere from about 8 or 9 to 14 in there, we rented a house in the country. And to drive there, we went down this beautiful long road and big houses off to the side. One of them had a volleyball net. Remember this? We'd go driving by, and Sundays in particular, late in the day, I'd see out there, they're playing volleyball. I thought, now I tucked it away. Some of you parents, some of you men, tuck this one away. And I had this glamorized Norman Rockwell kind of feeling. One day, I want to do more of that with my kids. When they're all at a point where we can... Anyway, I didn't do anything. We didn't have a volleyball net at that point in time. But I thought that was a neat way for a family to be together. So anyway, move forward where we are today. A few years ago, we married all 3 daughters in 13 months. I think y'all know that. I mean, we get one wedding event finished, everything kind of put back in the cabinets, and here we go again. And it was a joy. And I have those 3 young men, 3 son-in-laws. But as I wanted to stay tying strings, I want to keep building the rope, making it stronger, we had put in a volleyball poles a few years back. And I realized, this is it. This is the way to do it. We'll have the older ones, the married couples, we'll bring them in, we'll spend time together, and we'll play volleyball. And that's what we've been doing since right after the first couple married. We try to have them over certain Sunday nights, Sunday evenings. But the point is, special times, they don't have to stop. Keep doing it. I love connecting to my son-in-laws, and there's a lot of fun. We're out there, we're competing, and there's a few comments. Everybody borderlines on saying, that was a lousy shot. But you know what? We have fun. Everybody has to learn to love each other, be kind to each other, and compete. Last time I checked, my son-in-laws liked to win. And they found out, hey, your dad likes to win. I can imagine the conversations my daughters have as they drive off about their dad and their mom. You get the picture? Volleyball's not the end, it's a means. The means to the end is delighting and enjoying what God gives us. Special memories. Staying bonded together. Be creative. Saints, don't let boredom ruin your joy as a family. Is it Bob said, I think I made the Christian life sometimes too hard? Is that what he said? Beloved, I don't know of a man I admire more than that man in the earth. I think Mac would echo that wholeheartedly. When a man like that speaks to us in his last days, I'm going to listen. And he said, let's don't make everything so heavy and hard that we don't have joy. So don't let boredom take initiative and create quality time together. Come up with ideas. You men, you ladies, y'all talk, be creative, think together. Activate your marriage. Activate your in-loveness, your friendship. Activate your joy with your children. Do fun things. We rent bikes. We go, when we take the kids once each summer, we go to a national park. We rent bikes. And it's hard for Krista and I to keep riding those bikes. But by golly, we do it. Because it's a very, very special thing to the children. And we've got this running record. Okay, we got to rent bikes at the Grand Canyon. We got to rent bikes at Yosemite. We got to rent a bikes at Yellowstone. And so all of a sudden, we go, this is pretty neat. You're in this place and you do it together. Bob Jennings used this statement the other night. I think this is exact. He said, bring them in. Anybody remember how he said that towards the end? He said to us, bring them in. Meaning, draw your children in so that they know what's on your heart. I could have titled this, Bring Them In. Beloved, bring your families in. Tie it tight. Stay connected. There's a lot of other competing interests, a lot of other activities. Be careful. Keep the family unit tied together. Dad, Mom, let them know what you have on your heart. Let them know what you've been through in your life. Let them know what God has done, what Jesus Christ has done for you, who He is today, what He teaches you, what He shows you. Let them know what you like to laugh at. Tell stories of when you were younger, things you went through. Special times can revolutionize your family time together.
It can.
Just be creative and try it. Be you. Just be you. We do things that may not apply to you. Yes, saints, tie strings through special times together. Let me close. Building up the family. 6 weeks, six different topics. A lot of thoughts, a lot of things shared. But I trust God at different moments through these six times is really speaking to you, the Holy Spirit helping you. These five areas that I've just covered are some of the ways that you can build your marriage and your family for the long haul. Not just while the children are in the home, but staying connected to them to the day you die. That is a precious thing. So build for the long haul through reading, through praying, through singing, through worship, and through very special times together. Yes, beloved, let God show you how to tie strings that cannot be broken. Do it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, what a privilege at this point in my life to be able to focus on this topic in these weeks. We do it unto you. Lord, the family, just the beginning of marriage, the coming together is a picture of Christ and His people. And then children, the picture of God's family, the people of God. These things are great, great realities in the human experience and the Christian life and Christian doctrine. So build our families, build our marriages, build our homes that the glory of God would be seen. If we play volleyball, or if we sing, or if we work puzzles, let the glory of God be upon it. Let us eat and drink to the glory of God. Let us have fun and worship in the things that we do to the glory of God. Make this real. Cause us to live the Christian life in fullness of joy, in fullness of loving one another. Help us, Lord, as men and as women and as fathers and mothers. Strengthen us, O God, in the inner man and with the resolve to build for the long haul and to really, truly stay focused on these things. What a gracious, glorious, loving Father you are to your children. Everything you do for us, you carry us, you love us, you teach us, you correct us, you bring us along. You're so gracious to your children that we want to learn how to live that way and live it together. Thank you again for the preciousness of your word and the joy of studying and looking at these things together. Magnify your name upon us and with us. Be alive and at work in our homes. For the glory of God we ask. Amen.